could have been a little less strange that night. I was feeling down and my mood wasn't right.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. At least once a week, people ask me how Nancy Nelson's doing. And if you want to find out yourself, just go to the Jen Hassan Dinner Theater and say hi to her. She's over there many nights as the hostess over there. And I highly encourage you to go see Beautiful, the Carole King musical that's over there right now. She is kind enough to step back with me today, talk to us today about Pitch People, the movie that she did 25 years ago. About the infomercial people and how to make a good pitch. She's, of course, featured in it. They're going to be having a special screening of it tomorrow night where Nancy's going to be there. We'll do a quick, brief question on and answer with the audience. She's kind enough to talk about a whole bunch of things today. Hi, Nancy.
Maddie, you're so adorable. I'm kind enough. You're my friend, and I get to enjoy you every day on the air. And all the years I was there, I got to see you come in wearing your shorts much too early in the spring. And there isn't a day that goes by that I don't miss AM 950. I don't miss you and all of the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful listeners who believe in our democracy and believe in our America and how hard we have to fight for it now. I miss the audience. I miss you. Hello, my friend.
Hello. There is a place. You're over at Chan Hassan Dinner Theater. I was over there, like I said, Friday. I was there last year for prom when you guys had that there. And it's just, if you want to say hi to her, she's over there on a lot of the nights. people can swing on by and say hi to Nance.
I'm an MC over there, and I get to greet people as they come in. And as you see, I go up on stage and I talk to them a little bit before the show starts. And I absolutely love it because the job is to be with people. And then every now and then they drop us in. Don Shelby and I have had three runs of a two-person show there called Love Letters. We just concluded again in February. And we're lucky. So far it keeps selling out, so they're going to bring it back again.
Nice.
And so it's just a happy place. But, man, I miss AM 950 radio. I miss it.
I miss seeing you every day. She gave me a picture years ago that she autographed, and I've got it up on my wall in my house. I'm never taking it down because working with you was literally like working with sunshine. It was, it was just so bright and happy, and you cannot have a bad day when Nancy Nelson is around. You just cannot.
Well, I think we clearly have a mutual admiration society going here, and isn't that lovely?
Well,
thank you so much.
Hey, let's take a quick minute, if I can, since you're over at Chan Hassan Dinner Theater. You said to me as I went in on Friday night to go see Beautiful, the Carole King musical, you said, you're going to like this. And holy cow, that's a hoot over there. You guys, that is just a great performance. And that lead singer, Monet, over there, who takes on the role of Carole King, she is absolutely brilliant.
She really is. She came in, she lives in California, came in out of New York. She had done one of the Broadway tours. And the whole cast is so strong. And an interesting thing, Maddie, when they started to talk about it and suggested people start buying tickets, there was some pushback because people thought it's just going to be a concert of Carole King music. Well, it's a big, giant production. As you know, there are 29 people on stage.
Yes.
And she was, she still is alive, of course, but a musical genius. She wrote her first giant hit when she was 17 years old, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? And for about 10 or 12 years, she never sang. She wrote for the Drifters and the Diamonds and the Shirelles, Up on the Roof, just endless numbers of songs, and then finally made her Tapestry album, and of course that put her into national prominence as Carole King, not just a writer, Carole King.
You know, and that was my mom listened to that on repeat over and over again when I was a kid. That's why I love Carole King.
Here's Tapestry. The album was Tapestry.
Yeah.
We all had it. We all wore them out. We all bought a second one and a third one.
The thing that works about that, because you're right, I think that sometimes people think that these musicals that are basically using established music are just kind of concerts, and they're not. And as a matter of fact, what I can say about Beautiful, the Carole King Story, because over the last 2 years, I have seen four total musicals where they brought in music that was pre-used and then either wrapped a story around it or fit the music into a story, that sort of thing. By far, Beautiful by Carole King is the best of those because it doesn't try to force the songs into a storyline or kind of make a contrived story. It just basically tells the story of her writing these songs and then lets the songs play out in historical timeline, which is the absolute best way to do that. And it's so it shined better than the other versions of plays that I've seen that have tried that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And of course, shows like that have been hugely successful on Broadway. And then it comes to a run like at Chanhassen Dinner Theaters, which, by the way, Maddie, we can be so proud of it. It is one of the preeminent professional theatrical companies in the nation.
Yep.
And the reputation is strong. And I'm just thrilled to be there. And I couldn't believe it when the two of you came walking through the door there. And there's Maddie! Yeah. And yes, I call him Maddie. And your wife always told me I'm the only person you've ever allowed to call you Maddie. Don't know that you've ever allowed me. I just do it.
One last thing. Chanhassen Dinner Theater, I had a fantastic steak there. I will say that Friday night. That was some good eating. So go see Beautiful, the Carole King musical over at Chanhassen Dinner Theater. Now, let's put that aside. A lot of people know you. I know you as Bunny from Airport. But we wouldn't watch that. My wife loves watching Airport just to see you in it. It is brilliant. I love that.
Maddie, you're so cute. My gosh, the dinosaurs were alive when I was in that movie.
Well, that was just Dean Martin. That was just Dean Martin.
But that's right. She didn't want to see me. She wants to watch Martin. Good for her.
No. Pitch people, you there was an art form. And you and I have talked about this. I don't know how much we talked about on air. But there was an art form to what happened in the 90s with the old style, the pitch, the barker, the selling, changing that and fitting that into the cable TV nation that we had, where you and many other people became kind of a host for this infomercial, and you made what is really somewhat iconic television for the time, something that I miss watching because some of those were just fantastic.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because it had its time and the time is over. You know, the television shopping networks got bigger. Amazon came in. But, they call it, the subtitle of the movie is the second, or Pitch People, the second oldest profession in the world. And they begin, you know, by talking about for as long as man has been alive, they have been selling something. Somebody standing on a corner on a wooden box selling buy this, buy this, buy this. And they tracked it. They know it happened a lot in Rome. They tracked it across Europe, people doing it. It came to the United States. Probably, Maddie, I would think one of the first things that we can identify in terms of pitch salesmen would be those stories that we hear of the flim-flam men who had the medicine wagons.
Yeah.
And they sold snake oil in town, and then they got out of town before people knew it wouldn't work. And then it went on street corners and flea markets, and people like Ed McMahon and Ron Popeil made their bones selling on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. And then who hasn't bought something at the state fair, a chopper, a plastic thing, a mop? And somebody said, you know, it really works at these state fairs. Let's do this on television, and we'll combine information, because it'll be a half-hour format, with a commercial. So we'll show you, we'll entertain you, we'll tell you all about it, and then we'll tell you how you can buy it, the infomercial. And I was there at the right time when that happened, and I had a heck of a fun ride with it.
I think you probably, and I don't think this is wrong, you were with Foreman in probably the most popular of all of them, the George Foreman Grill, because that one played regular and often. And as many people have said, of all the products that were ever advertised on infomercials, the George Foreman Grill, I still have one at home. It works. It's a good thing. And
Maddie, I still use mine every day.
Yeah. It's a fan. Yeah. That was the one that, would you agree that that's probably the most popular of all the infomercials that happened at that time?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. People, of course, loved seeing George Foreman, and the product was so great.
Yeah.
And do I have to tell you what an utter thrill it was to do the show with him? And he couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been nicer. The flip side of that, and how things don't always work, it's in the movie. I did a show with Ed McMahon. And, of course, you would automatically think whatever that was, it would have been a huge success. Well, Ed had cholesterol problems. And his doctor said, you cannot have fried food. He found somebody to create the original air fryer so he could have fried foods without doing the grease part of it. We did the show, tried to introduce the American public to an air fryer, and even with Ed McMahon on it 25 years ago, it tanked. Fast forward, and everybody has an air fryer in their kitchen today.
What do you think? What happened there? I mean, just did it not resonate, or
people just, it was a bridge too far for them.
Mm.
No, you can't have good fried chicken if you don't have it in the deep fryer.
No.
Now, of course, then they started to talk about educated, but it's so interesting how timing, even with something that is now such a huge thing, Ed McMahon, with his pull, couldn't make a success of the show. But I'll tell you, I picked up the phone, and this voice said, Nancy, this is Ed McMahon. I about went down to the floor.
Did you think?
Hi, Mr. McMahon. How are you? Nancy, it was just great.
Did you think you had won Publisher's Clearinghouse at that point?
That's so cute that you say that. I think I said that to him. I said, Mr. McMahon, are you calling? And he said, no, I'm calling you because I want to do a show with you. And I said, oh, you do? I just was so excited.
You did. Okay, I just watched Wrath of Khan, Star Trek Wrath of Khan, with the immortal Ricardo Montalban on there.
Oh, yeah.
as Khan, yeah. Which is as good as it gets, and really one of the best science fiction movies of all time. You did one with him. What was the infomercial you did with him?
It was another one that tanked. It was a cooker fryer thing, and he had a friend who put it together, and he wanted to do an infomercial with it. And for whatever reason, who knows, it doesn't click. It maybe didn't click because people didn't like the product enough, although it was fabulous. Often they didn't click because there wasn't a good time buy. You can't just buy time.
Yeah.
You got to buy time in the right place at the right times. And poor Mr. Montalban, part of the show, I had to take this steak off the grill thing and cut it and hand it to him. And I cut a piece that was too big and put it in his mouth. And he stood there chewing and chewing. And he finally said, we have to stop. She gave me too big a piece.
That's brilliant. I would have loved to. That would be an all-time classic moment in my life. I fed Ricardo Montalban.
Another thing you would love, Maddie, because again, you know, they're bigger than life. They were crazy. They were silly. They were financial Goliaths all over the planet. And so naturally, there was a lot of fun making. And one night, I'm sitting there watching. I had done a show for Royal Diamond Cookware. It would not end. It ran for 3 years. We sold a bajillion pots and pans. And the demonstrator on it, I was the sidekick to a man named John Parkin. Red bow tie, red suspenders.
Yeah.
And Nancy, this is so Nancy, this cook, Nancy. And he was just over the top. I'm watching Saturday Night Live, and there they are doing a skit of this infomercial with one of the SNL guys as John Parkin and Helen Hunt, the actress, as me. and they had my hairdo. They had the same blue dress I had on, and it was, oh, John, that's so wonderful. And it was just brutal. It was brutal. And it was just hysterical. And it was, you know, how honored can you be? Who cares if they trash you? You're on SNL and they're, you know, doing a parody on you. I called Monday morning and asked to speak to Lorne Michaels, the producer of SNL. I had met him before. And she said, well, what is this about? And I said, well, Helen Hunt and you folks did a skit on Saturday night. And it was about me and John Parkin. And I'd like to talk to Lauren. Just a moment, please. She came back, took a long time. I am transferring you to legal. I said, what? I don't want to talk to, I want to talk to Lauren. Well, if you have any concern about having been parodied in an infomercial in our skit, I'm connecting you to legal now. They thought I would call to sue them. And I just called to say, thank you, Lauren. And I never did get to talk to him. And I told them, no, I don't want to sue you. Thanks for doing it.
Okay, so of the ones that you have not done, here's a good question for you. Of the infomercials that you did not do, what was the one that you saw that you said, you know what, that's a good one?
That is interesting, isn't it? There were so many good ones. There were a lot of really good skincare ones. That I think were good that I wish I had done. Matt, you put me in a corner. Well, I don't have a good answer. Well, that's how good a question it is. It can't be answered.
Well, the great thing about the people like yourself that did them is I think to a point, a lot of it was the character of the individual, like the Slap Chop and the ShamWow guy. He worked in those ads when he did those. And, you know, and Popeil was, you know, when he had his rotisserie, you got out there and you could sell it. I think that's what made some of those work. I mean, the one Ron Popeil one where he did the rotisserie oven, that one was on for like 5 years. I mean, that was.
Set it and forget it.
Yeah, set it and forget
it. Set it and forget it. The first show I did with Ron was the food dehydrator. And that was another one that ran forever.
Yeah,
and ever.
It did.
I did a few early on with Ron, kind of back to back, and then did not want to do any shows with Ron anymore. But he was a piece of work.
Okay, so the 25th anniversary of Pitch People, it's at Imagine Willow Creek. Starting tomorrow night, 7 p.m., it's got one airing every day for the next week, starting Friday night, right?
That's right. And tomorrow night, the producer who put all this together and contacted me said, Nance, how about if you, will you go over and do a Q&A after the performance at 7 o'clock tomorrow night? If the show's up at 7, it's down at 8:30. And if anybody is actually there, because a lot of people could care less about a documentary. But I'll tell you, it's really fun, Maddie. It is really a trip down memory lane and all these guys and all the things they did. And there's a lot of laughs in it. It's really fun. So come. Yeah, I do the Q&A after the 7 o'clock show. And then on Saturday and Sunday, it's at noon. Monday through Thursday, it's at 5 p.m. And then it's out of here and on its way to, I think, San Francisco next.
Well, and a reminder, the only day you can do the Q&A with Nancy is tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at, once again, Willow Creek. And that's a 7 p.m. showing there. Nance, by the way, I love your bird in the background. How old is that dog?
Oh, no. I thought I went far enough in the other room. I'm so sorry.
Bird is fantastic.
Oh, no. The people must think. No, I'm not calling you from the zoo. That is Peppy. That is Peppy, a double yellowhead Amazon parrot that Billy brought home in 1973. Peppy was 5 years old then. And so this year, Peppy is 56, and he and I have lived together for 51 years. And I promise you, the second I hang up the phone, he stops hollering, just like a toddler.
Well, I love it, because it does, to a point, sound like you're calling us from the compound on a tropical island. I'm just
Nance, why didn't you say, Nancy, get the bird? Oh, gosh, Maddie, why did you let me do this whole interview with that?
Because I love it, because you are sunshine, my dear. You are absolute sunshine. Sunshine
and Peppy is loud.
it is daylight.
Maddie, thank you, darling. Thank you so much. And hey, AM50 listeners, I know how much you value Matt, and you know how special he is. And man alive, we got to hit the streets. We got to do everything we can. We got to save this. We're in big trouble, aren't we, Matt?
Well, we're so grateful for everyone that stepped up, helped out. We got the calendar, the latest calendar out there, and there's a lot of ways you can help out. Stop by the Chanhassen Dinner Theater on many nights. You can see Nancy there. Go see Beautiful, the musical. It's fantastic over there. And then, of course,
and listen to Maddie every single day.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Pitch People at the Imagine Willow Creek tomorrow night, 7 p.m. with the Q&A afterwards with Nance. Nance, as always, you are welcome on my show anytime you want to come by, my friend.
Thanks, my friend. Peppy, say goodbye to everybody at AM 950. Oh, Matt. Goodbye, darling.
Take care. Nancy Nelson I'll tell you what, we'll come back, wrap up the show. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.